This is an oral history tape of Mrs. Helen Blois Schumann. And Mrs. Schumann, could you tell us how long you've lived in Westboro?
I was born in Westboro, June 24, 1892, and I have lived here the greater part of my life.
Where did you live when you were growing up?
I lived at 11 Ruggles Street.
And we wanted to ask you first about the schools in Westboro and how you were associated with them and what schools you went to and what you remember.
Well, I went to the Harvey School, the Eli Whitney School, the Maynard School, and into the high school.
The Maynard School was for what? Well, what grades
school
were each
street.
One of these? First and second, first grades were?
I can't remember, because I.
Eli Whitney, I believe you went.
Conflict them with what I was doing when I was school nurse.
Do you know who Harvey was, why they named it Harvey School?
Yes, who Dr.
was
Dr. Harvey.
And who was Dr. Harvey?
Dr. Harvey lived where Dr. Boyd lives at the present time.
On West Main Street.
Yes, 52 West Main Street. He was a very tall man, and he was the physician in town.
He was, well.
I was born in my home, and he was the officiating physician.
Doctor at the time. And babies were born at home at those days, right?
Yeah. And he named me.
How did he do that?
Well, he just.
He decided.
Said we're going to call her Helen.
Good. And the doctor's word went at that time. And therefore, the Harvey School was named after this physician.
Yes.
Well respected.
And up until a few years ago, there was a oil painting of him in the Harvey School hallway.
So therefore, probably most of the children that went to Harvey School had been either delivered by him or attended by him.
Yes.
What was his first name, do you know? I can look it up.
This is what gets me, see, I know it. I know it.
Okay. Yeah. He was Dr. Edwin B. Harvey, and you say he was on the school committee also?
Yes.
I see. Could you tell us a little more about the Westboro schools?
I attended our local schools and later entered Newton Hospital to train for a career in nursing. I remember three school buildings on Grove Street, the Harvey School on Phillips Street, the Maynard and High School on School Street. Now, houses are there available for veterans of our wars. Another school was located where Mrs. Holman's lives on High Street. The Maynard School second floor was reached by a long flight of stairs, and a Mr. Newcomb used to come occasionally and give us questions on our studies. He wrote questions on the board with much larger letters than the teacher, which amused us. Mr. Newcomb was deaf, carried a cane, and occasionally had a short, gruff cough. But when we heard that cane and Mr. Newcomb coming up to our classroom, how quickly we sat up straight, for he spoke of posture very often. No matter what we were doing, the teacher gave permission to clear our desks and listen to Mr. Newcomb. Sometimes he brought a small box containing a battery and from two sides a cord protruding, which reminded us of a jump rope with handles. Then we formed a circle around the room. Each pupil joined hands with the next person. The end two held the hands handles, and Mr. Newcomb turned a little crank, and each pupil had a shock. Then he'd ask for individual pupils to hold both handles. Usually a boy would volunteer. We had a few pupils who lived some distance from the school.
Excuse me a minute. Why would he do this? Have you hold on to this rope?
Well, it generated this little battery, and we got a little shock through us.
And he wanted to show you about electricity?
Yes, he wrote this on the board.
Was he a member of the school committee?
He was a member of the school committee.
And the school committee
would... Well, I'll tell you truly, any time he came to school, there was never any hesitancy.
I speak up. I also wondered if the school committee then came in and checked on the classes and the way they were taught, right? And were you asked questions that you, about what you were learning at all by the school committee?
Yes. We had a few pupils who lived some distance from the schools, and a barge brought them. A covered wooden wagon drawn by one or two horses, one driver. Those pupils carried their morning recess lunch and some for their noon lunch. The barge kids were a long time on the road. There were district schools also in areas farther away from the center of town. These were earlier schools established in 1789. They were designated by number as District 1 in the building where the savings bank is now across from Town Hall. 2, Gilmore Hill on East Main Street. District 3, corner Flanders Road and Washington Street. 4, near the reservoir at the end of Bowman Lane. 5, in the angle between South and Warren Street. 6, West Main near Adams Street. 7, corner of Fisher and Otis Street. 8, corner of Oak and Chauncey Street. When I was first employed by the school department, Mr. J. Harding Armstrong was superintendent of schools and principal of the high school.
What year was this?
1934. Of the high school. One day he had word from the town clerk, some elderly persons were asking for a birth certificate, and there was no record of many such births. But if any missing names could be found on school records saying that Mary Smith was recorded as attending school on a certain year and gave her address, Mr. Armstrong could certify the record on school stationery with his signature. I spent many hours searching for missing names of applicants, and one night at a meeting of the Historical Society, I mentioned the problem of locating school registers from the schools, especially the district schools. Some man in the group said, "We have some registers in our collections of the society." What a relief. We located many missing names, and to those people, something of great value. Then they could collect Social Security when that new law went into effect.
That's very interesting. Mrs. Schumann, I would like to ask you about downtown Westboro and what you remember about Main Street, West Main Street and East Main Street. Do you remember anything about the Whitney House?
Yes, I remember the Whitney House well because my brother, who was in high school, worked in the drugstore, which was located in the Whitney House block, next to the cemetery.
What was his name?
A Mr. and Mrs. Lowe were the both pharmacists, and Mr. Lowe died, Mrs. Lowe carried on, and my brother, Bill Blois, worked in the drugstore when he was in high school. And once a week, he made ice cream in the freezer, and I knew the date of that, and I went down and helped lick the dasher.
That's great. This was a hand ice cream maker then. So this drugstore sold sodas and ice cream?
They had a small soda.
They had what else was in the drugstore? People would go to it. Would children stop there to have a soda, for instance?
No. It was a small fountain. I don't remember that children did that, went in the stores like that.
Mm-hmm.
We had Chamberlain's paper store, where they sold miscellaneous things, of course, daily papers.
That's in the...
And...
candy?
They had, in some little low, sort of a low counter, the glass top, they sold different candies. That's where the children congregated.
That was on West Main Street, near the post office block,
right?
Near where the savings bank is now. Getting back to the Whitney House, do you remember the other stores that were in the Whitney House?
For that time, there was a large market there. And they had all sorts of the groceries and so forth.
It's a fish market or a laundry?
There was a Mr. Perry worked there. He was a brother of Geneva Perry.
Do you remember anything about the stores themselves? What they carried, for instance, and what you would buy in them?
Oh, they had large barrels. Usually one counter. Large barrels with called common crackers. To me, sort of tasteless. they had pickles in the there.
In a barrel?
They had large, what do you call it? Butter in
big blocks.
How do you say that? The butter was in the large round, similar to the way cheese came. So if you wanted 2 pounds of butter, they cut off approximately that much and weighed it on the scales and wrapped it up for you.
How about sugar and flour? Were they just in regular bags, or did you buy?
My parents always bought flour in a barrel. I think it used to cost approximately $8, and that was delivered into the pantry. I wonder what they think now if they see me in an apartment buying 5 pounds of flour.
I wonder, when you get to the bottom of the flour barrel, too, if anybody ever fell in, little kids at the bottom of a flour barrel. In the Whitney House, it was a very nice hotel, I was told.
Yes.
Was that upstairs?
That was in the center of the building. There was a staircase, rather steep, I thought. And upstairs were the rooms for, very often salesmen. because in those days a salesman came by train in the center of town and then came into the stores to get their errands. And then they had to time themselves as to when they could leave the town on another train that would take them to their next stop.
And they would stay at the Whitney House while they were
in
town.
They might stay at the Whitney House.
Was there a lobby at the Whitney House and different rooms? You don't remember. Behind the Whitney House, there was a livery stable, is that right?
Mr. Ernest Brown's livery stable.
And what was in the livery stable?
Well, they had the horses and a few buggies with the fringe on top. And once in a while, if father and mother had company from out of town, they would rent a buggy, two-seater, and one horse, and we would go for a ride. Took us a long time to go as far as White's Corner in Southville, but
this is where you'd go.
It was quite a treat.
Are there other places in Westboro you would ride around to that were particularly pretty sights to see? For instance, were there some pretty farms downtown or near the center of town at all?
The farm I was acquainted with was the Bartlett farm. This was the family with the Whitneys who owned the Whitney House.
And where was the Bartlett farm?
It was in about the location of where our present high school is.
On West Main Street.
And I went up almost every late afternoon when they were milking the cows and bought either one or two quarts of milk. We had a tin can which held one quart, and another tin can was two quarts. We went through a driveway on Charles Street and then over Stonewall and into the tall grass of the Bartlett farm. I always had to take someone with me because there was a brook which went through there. And we had to stop and throw in some pebbles, and jump over the brook two or three times, and then on up the hill to the barn, watch them milking the cows. And then they gave me the milk, the quantity I wished.
How often did you go for milk then?
Usually every late afternoon when we were milking, approximately 5 o'clock.
So you had fresh milk in Westboro.
We had fresh and hot right then.
And not pasteurized, right? Or homogenized either. And Westboro was well known for its dairies, and I always wondered why Milk Street was named Milk Street. Do you know at all?
No.
I think it had something to do with the milk being brought in to be shipped out, perhaps. Mrs. Schumann, do you know anything about the blacksmiths in Westboro?
Jackson's blacksmith shop was a big item to the youngsters in my area on Ruggles and Cross Streets. Mr. Jackson lived at 16 Ruggles Street, and the corner lot from there to 22 Cross Street was owned by him and his blacksmith shop, bounded on that area. Near the sidewalk was a large flat stone where metal tires were attached to the wooden wheels of wagons. When the truck from Bartlett Box Company came to the shop with bundles of kindling, we knew that meant a busy time. The wooden wheel was placed on the stone. The metal tire was brought from the fire of kindlings by two men with large tongs and quickly attached to the wooden wheel. Then water was poured from a hose quickly to be sure the hot metal could not burn any of the wooden wheel. That created a heavy smoke, and suddenly that was the end of our watching. But we could go into the shop and watch the blacksmith shoe horses. Mr. Jackson was very kind to us, but each one was told where he or she could stand and observe. We obeyed his instructions, for no one wanted to be deprived of an occasional visit to the blacksmith shop. There was a small greenhouse attached to the shop, and Mr. Jackson employed one man to care for that at certain seasons, for he sold lettuce to the markets in town. At the proper time, glass frames were placed on frames which were on the vacant land at the corner of Cross and Ruggles Street. Then the lettuce plants were transplanted to the frames until large enough for the market. In those days, lettuce was not sold in large quantities. Maybe the market wagons bought only 4 or 6 heads of lettuce. At the time, some stores or markets had wagons pulled by a horse. The employee stopped at a certain customer's house, delivered an order of the previous day, or took an order to be delivered that day. I can remember Father would sometimes say at dinner time, "What was the news today from the market man?" Saturday night was the big night in town, and everybody was on the street paying their week's bills, perhaps at the markets, or doing some more shopping. Mr. Searles owned one of the markets, and I remember when I was in high school, one summer, Mrs. Searles asked me if I would work for her that summer.
She was
pulling out basting threads and doing little beadings and things on her, because she was a dressmaker. I had many customers.
People didn't just walk into a store and buy dresses then.
I worked 60 hours a week with her and was paid 10 cents an hour. And at the end of the week, 4 o'clock on Saturday, I was given $6 as my week's pay.
That's amazing. People didn't walk into stores and then buy dresses right off the rack in those days. How did they buy a dress, for instance, from a dressmaker?
There were many dressmakers in town in those days. And some people used catalogs and ordered dresses. And then there were many people who could do their own sewing because their income might not be too great. And with children, they could make their own clothes.
But if you had enough money, or you would walk into a dressmaker and ask them to make a dress for you. Is that right?
Yes, you could order it. Maybe you had your own material. But dresses in those days for the ladies was quite a project, for the dress skirts were very long. The bodices were taped inside and lined, and many decorations on the dresses were many stitches in a homemade dress in those days.
The dressmaker also do a lot by hand then, the trim and hand finishing?
Much was done by hand.
And you mentioned there was tape on the bottom of the skirts also.
A sort of a braid was on the lower part of the skirt.
And it would take several fittings, I would think.
Very great many.
So that it fit just right by the time it was over. How did people get hats? Did they wear a lot of hats in those days?
Yes, yes. We had a hat factory in town. That was a wholesale business, but many people of the ladies worked in the hat factory during the busy season, which was in the winter time, and the pay for a good operator was very good at that time.
Now, the hat factory was on Milk Street, is that right?
Phillips Street.
Corner of Phillips Street. And it made straw hats?
They made straw hats.
And, for instance,
they also trimmed some of the hats. Mostly it would be on children's hats with maybe a little ribbon around the crown and streamers hanging down back.
And when you mentioned the operators, are you referring to women on sewing machines?
On sewing machines, or there were trimmers who trimmed by hand. There were machines which could do the ruffling for a ribbon or lace. And
they must have been pretty fancy hats in some cases. Now, could you buy some of these hats in Westboro's shops?
They very often sold damaged hats. Maybe the damaged to the extent only that the little area could be covered by ribbon or flowers, and maybe you could get a very nice hat for 10 cents and trim it yourself if you liked.
You mentioned something about the Barber sisters, that they were milliners. What did the milliners do? What were the milliner shops like?
Well, they were more or less exclusive. There were two sisters, the Mrs. Barber, who had a shop in the Park Building, and they had very pretty hats, but more expensive, which not all families could afford, but they were very attractive, a very attractive shop.
And then let's say a fine lady could go in and order a hat that she would like made in a certain color or with certain flowers and ribbon?
No. Well, they did not make the hats unless it was made on a frame. But a straw hat, for instance, came all made.
But they'd trim it.
But they could trim it to suit you.
And that's with ribbons and flowers.
That's right.
And hats, the ladies wore hats quite a bit in those days.
Yes.
In the streets.
That was the thing. You always watched Easter to see what your neighbor had for a new hat.
Mrs. Schumann, do you remember anything else about the hat factories in town?
Well, the hat factory is, I knew it, was first owned by Mr. Genthner. Then there was a large hat factory down East Main Street in the neighborhood of High Street.
That was the National Straw Works, I believe.
That was the National Straw Works. Mr. Bernard was the owner, I believe, of that. Many people came, many women came from out of town during the winter months and worked in these hat factories. It was just seasonal work. A good operator could make Good money in those days was $40-$50 a week for a woman.
Where would they stay?
Some boarded in private families. I think the Bernard factory had facilities for caring for some people who worked for them.
The National House was beside the hat factory, or the straw works, I believe, on the bottom of High Street, across from High Street. There was another factory you mentioned, which was the Hassel Curtain Factory. Where was that?
That was in just about that same location. In fact, I think it was one of those buildings that previously had been used by the Bernard Factory. The Hassel Factory was a small factory. They made very pretty curtains. It would seem to me, looking back, that the Hassel Factory was not in business for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm. It was a lace curtain factory. That was probably also on East Main Street?
That was on East Main Street.
Near the corner of Brigham's?
Near where the community house, those places are.
There were some other factories on Brigham Street. One that you mentioned before was the Bartlett's Box Factory.